We are going to turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. First, I'll be reading verses 1 through 23. Genesis 39. Another biblical hero that we're looking at in our study of being survivors, more than survivors, thriving in the power of Christ alone. And we will be looking at the life of Joseph and a particular episode in his life from the book of Beginnings and from Genesis. Before I get to reading that passage, I want to just take a moment to kind of introduce this theme. We're talking about survival. Almost every day, it feels like we're asking ourselves the question, am I going to survive all this with the pandemic, with all of the chaos and craziness going on in the world, not only with health, but economy and with politics? And as we decide what's our next step as a congregation, as a church, how are we going to survive individually, families, and as a congregation? But more than survive, God wants us to thrive and experience the abundant life that Jesus promised believers. And if you're going to survive spiritually, you've got to take into account stumbling blocks like temptation and sin. This morning we want to focus on, as Hector already introduced, fleeing, agreeing to flee temptation and sin. Sin is a spiritual trapdoor. The bottom falls out of our Christian experience and our righteousness when temptation allures us. The choice is given to us. Are we going to take a spiritual nosedive at temptation, or are we going to thrive in spiritual vitality? There's the choice that I give you today. If you're going to be a survivor, a spiritual survivor in a strange and alien land, in a hostile world, today's society of hypersexuality and sensuality, leaving spiritually shell-shocked saints, in today's secular culture, secularizing, it provides daily spiritual ambushes for faithful believers. So if you're going to live victoriously in the power of Christ alone, we need to learn to choose to agree to flee temptation and sin. For sin is a stumbling block to every believer. None of us are immune to temptation, causing fails and falls. Satan is a spiritual enemy and adversary, deliberately scheming to sabotage our spiritual success. Surviving temptation's allures. We're given cues and clues from the biblical hero Joseph, one of the patriarchs in the Old Testament recorded in Genesis. If you remember, Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Israel, or Jacob, Israel, his father's favorite. Jacob gave him the coat of many colors. He was his father's favorite. And his brothers called him the dreamer because he had a way of having these dreams that were not only dreams but prophetic premonitions. And often the favorite theme of these dreams was Joseph's personal prominence over the rest of his brothers, even his father and mother. And that caused great consternation with his brothers as He even told them about that. You would have thought that he would have just kept quiet about his dreams, but no, he kind of boasted about it. So, as the story goes, Joseph was tricked and trapped by his other brothers and sold to slave traders, Ishmaelite slave traders, and ultimately taken by these slave traders down to Egypt, the current world power at that time. So we pick up in Genesis chapter 39, and it's really quite a story. It's like watching an episode on one of today's TV soap operas or modern TV dramas. We see Joseph in the house of Potiphar, and I'll be reading the New Living Translation, which is a really cool translation. Reads well, hear it well, in Genesis 39. Now when Joseph arrived in Egypt with the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, a member of the personal staff of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Potiphar was the captain of the palace guard. And as we read, the Lord was with Joseph, even in his servant posture there, and blessed him greatly as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. So Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with him. Potiphar soon put Joseph in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all of his business dealings. From the day Joseph was put in charge, the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs began to run smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourish. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't have to worry. He didn't have a worry in the world except to decide what he wanted to eat. Now, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. New Living Translation. Anyhow. And about this time, Potiphar's wife began to desire him and invited him to sleep with her. PG-13, I guess. Anyhow, Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you because you were his wife. How could I ever do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on him day after day, but he refused to sleep with her and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, when no one else was around, he was doing his work inside the house. She came and grabbed him by the shirt, demanding, "Sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but as he did, his shirt came off. She was left holding it as he ran from the house. When she saw that she had his shirt and that he had fled, she began screaming. Soon all the men around the place came running. "My husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to insult us," she sobbed. "He tried to rape me, but I screamed." When he heard my loud cries, he ran and left his shirt behind with me. She kept the shirt with her, and when her husband came home that night, she told him the story. "This Hebrew slave you had around was trying to make a fool of me," she said. "I was saved only by my screams. He ran out, leaving his shirt behind." After hearing his wife's story, Potiphar was furious. He took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. But the Lord was with Joseph there too. And he granted Joseph favor with the chief jailer. Before long, the jailer put Joseph in charge of all of the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The chief jailer had no more worries after that because Joseph took care of everything in the prison. The Lord was with him, making everything run smoothly and successfully. The word of the Lord. When we talk about temptations, know that everybody's personal temptations are different. What's tempting to you may be different from what's tempting to me in my life. There are all kinds of temptations. Maybe chemical temptations. There are all kinds of people enslaved by drugs and alcohol. There are sensual temptations, whether unfaithful deeds and impure thoughts. Maybe temptations come in the form of power, the temptation to sin when it comes to power, abusive behavior or wounding words in relationships, the desire to control through hurt and intimidation, manipulation through anger, mismanage. Maybe your temptation has to do with the area of greed and possessions, seduced by American materialism. So many people fall into that trap. Perhaps your temptation primarily is in the area of the pleasures of this world. Many in our society are in pursuit of the party. Hedonism, seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. Well, whatever it is for you or for me, we need to learn to live like Joseph in this case and agree to flee. I love that phrase, agree to flee. And I'm drawing from an acronym in this message, FLEE, F-L-E-E, right? FLEE. We're going to consider four practical areas in this concern to live righteous that we might be more than survivors by fleeing. First of all, flee in the sense of feel the danger. F, the first word in the first letter, flee. Feel the danger. Do you feel the danger? Like Joe and the boss's wife, Mrs. Potiphar. Joseph sensed the danger as soon as Mrs. Potiphar took notice, literally lifted up her eyes at him and made advances to him. We know this because he refused her on the grounds of his loyalty to his boss, Potiphar, and his allegiance to the Lord himself. That's the ultimate authority. And if we don't feel the danger of sin, we are naive and setting ourselves up for failure. Some of us feel like, oh, as a mature Christian, I am invulnerable. I can't be tempted by that. And sure enough, that's when we fall. Great preacher of the last generation, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book on Ephesians chapter 6, Spiritual Warfare, Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, "Not to realize that you are in a mortal conflict means you are completely defeated by the devil already. Anyone who is not aware of a fight or a conflict in a spiritual sense is in a drugged or hazardous condition." Like the proverbial frog in the kettle. You ever hear that metaphor? That classic story of the frog in the kettle. Some of you may be aware that if you take a frog and throw him in a pot, a kettle of boiling water, he'll immediately jump out. But if you put him in a pot, a kettle of room temperature water, and gradually increase the temperature, he'll be cooked. So it is with us. Okay, our culture and our society have desensitized us to its sleaze. We're barely aware of the stuff that comes at us all the time through our culture, through our TV and media. If you don't get in the water, or don't get in the water if you don't want to be cooked, is a good point. You know, this gradual desensitization, some of you will remember the Partridge Family on TV back in whenever they were on, 70s or 60s. Quite a difference from the Kardashian family today, right? Or Leave It to Beaver. I won't ask for a raise of hands for those who remember the Beave, but too late, you already raised your hand. Quite a difference from today's TV shows rated TVMA like Game of Thrones. Not that I've ever seen that, but I hear that that's full of violence and sensuality, sexuality. Anyhow, Karen Maines, in her great book that I have commended to you called Soul Alert, Thriving Spiritually as Aliens and Strangers in the World, Karen Maines writes, temptations are sure to come. We are surrounded by all too convenient evil. That's given a given for all those living on a fallen planet. And for those of you who think yourselves invulnerable, hear the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Parental control filters on your TV or your computer are not only good for kids, but they're good for parents as well. Right? So firstly, feel the danger. Be aware of the danger that lurks there. Does it feel dangerous? Or perhaps exciting? Important to recognize. FL and flee. Leave the area. The second point in flee is to leave the area. Run for your life like Joe and Mrs. Potiphar. Joseph was being pursued relentlessly, and the only option was to run, as we read in verses 10 through 12. Integrity and spiritual life or vitality depends on your leaving the area sometimes. Joseph knew that his relationship with God, as well as his boss, was more precious than the pleasures of this immediate moment, the fleeting pleasures of this world. Joseph lost his shirt but kept his faith. There's an example for all of us. If possible, when temptation confronts us, we need to flee. We need to look away, get away, leave the room, drive a different route, stop an activity, change plans. Even if it seems awkward and ungraceful, it causes a temporary misunderstanding, as it did for Joseph. Joseph didn't leave a forwarding address to the temptation, and neither should we. Just get out of there. I have a good friend from my time in Collingswood Church. I had a group of young men. We met in a small group. And there was this mature Christian, biblically informed and literate, but he had an addiction to pornography. And in his battle, he would come and ask for prayer of this group of young men, all probably in the same boat, but he'd ask for prayer, knowing there was confidentiality there. And One week he said, pray for me, I'm going to ask my parents. He still lived with his parents, even in his early 30s. Could I ask them to cancel the subscription to cable TV? And his parents weren't believers and thought, that's the craziest thing. They didn't understand his courageous move. In fact, they mocked him for it. But he stood up. in spite of the discomfort. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Flee. Therefore, my dear friends, 1 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Thank you, Joseph, for these clues. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, we read, dear brothers and sisters, you are foreigners and aliens here, so I warn you to keep away from evil desires as they fight against your very souls. If you are going to protect your souls, you need to learn to agree to flee. So, leave the area. Just say no. Just say no. As we go through this time, as you go through temptations. Okay. Can't remember what page I'm on. I'm sorry. We'll get there. Just say no. Whether you're in the midst of a rising temper, explosion, sometimes you just have to let go. Walk away. Feel the danger. And leave the premises. Leave the area, so to speak. Well, he experienced God's pleasure. Joseph found favor in the eyes of the Lord and his boss Potiphar and then the prison jailer. Later on with the king himself, with the Pharaoh. Everywhere the favor of God rested upon him for his obedience, righteousness, and holiness. And that favor was experienced in everyone he touched and experienced. So he experienced God's pleasure, and you can too. Receive God's favor. It's difficult to see any pleasure in Joseph's situation in our story. Mrs. Potiphar turned him into the authorities, and he found himself a victim of an angry husband's wrath. The moment when we turn from temptation, God is pleased, but we may not feel his pleasure at that moment. But Joseph began to experience God's pleasure. Even in prison, the Lord was with him, the Bible says, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. He received God's favor and he heard God's God's commendation, affirmation. Can you imagine today feeling God's pleasure in your life as you were victorious in your battle against sin? Most of us are more used to feeling shame. We can't imagine feeling God's pleasure, but when you win, pause and momentarily celebrate God's commendation. Feel the Father's affirmation. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father said to Jesus, about Jesus, when Jesus was baptized. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. And as I read that, as I think about that, I can't help but remember a time in my life when my earthly father wrote me a note on my 40th birthday, and he said exactly that. Alan, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I have saved that letter, that affirmation, that commendation. I've saved that in my dresser drawer, my sock drawer underneath my socks. I bring it out every birthday and remind myself of my dad, who was the wisest man on earth that I knew. And it is a great thing to cherish that affirmation. Not to argue with it. Oh, no, no. You know I lose more than I win, which I do. But for the moment, when you win, hear and feel God's commendation. Experience God's pleasure. F-L-E-E. Establish protections. Establish protections. Stay clear. Stand clear. To be more than a survivor, we must have a plan, a predetermined plan fixed in our minds so that we can withstand the sneak attacks of the enemy. The reason Joseph was able to withstand is that he was already prepared. He already worked out a battle plan, at least in general terms, as we read in our passage. He was committed to be loyal to Potiphar for the trust he placed in him. He recognized God's presence and favor and was committed to serve God no matter what. As Mrs. Potiphar pursued Joseph, he resolved to be with her as little as possible. Stephen Arterburn, in the classic book, Every Man's Battle, Men's Battle Against Lust and Pornography, he suggests preparing with a war games simulation. Stephen Arterburn, simulate the temptation mentally in advance and set up your defenses. Josh McDowell, in one of his great books to teens, says decide what you'll do in the backseat of a car before you get there. Otherwise, passion rather than common sense rules. Make a plan and practice righteousness. Be prepared to establish protections before you even get there. Well, as we think about what God is doing in our lives, we can not only stand and stay clear, but just say no to sin and temptation, which will destroy your spiritual life, self-destructive patterns. Do you see sin as that? Just don't go to the party if you have a problem with parties. Don't drive past a bar or a liquor store if you're a recovering alcoholic. Take another route past the adult bookstore if you're struggling with porn. Or let the air out, as Charles Stanley says in his teaching on temptation, using the metaphor of a beach ball. Sometimes we try to handle temptation like a beach ball in a pool, trying to get on top of it to suppress it, and you know it keeps bubbling out. Just take a pin and pop the temptation, let the air out of it, so to speak. Part of the way to do that is through accountability, the accountability factor. Again, all through my life, I have been in accountability groups. We have some small groups focusing on accountability, even in our church. And I remember one young salesman in a small group I had in Collingswood, before he went to go on a business trip, he asked the guys in our group to hold him accountable, to ask him what he watched or didn't watch, what he did on his trip. One of the most effective measures we can establish in the protection of accountability, according to Patrick Morley's classic book, The Man in the Mirror, you've perhaps heard of him. Patrick Morley contends one of the greatest reasons men get into trouble is they don't have to answer to anyone in their lives. God calls it, or Morley calls it, the missing link. So many political figures, even fallen church leaders, pastors, bishops, lay leaders, fall into sin and fall from grace for lack of accountability. practically speaking, we can gather around us people that we can trust and hold in confidence, have an accountability partner. I've had prayer partners over the years hold me accountable, and people share with confidence even the most secret of areas. Dr. Charles Swindoll, I have one more quote I'd like to share with you in his great book, Rise and Shine, A Wake-Up Call for the Church. Swindoll says we need to wake up to the value of integrity, and he writes, recently I was encouraged to hear about a minister who meets once a week with a small group of men. They are committed to one another's purity. They pray with and for each other. They talk openly and honestly about their struggles, weaknesses, temptations, and trials. In addition to these general things, they look one another in the eye as they ask and answer no less than 7 specific questions. And Swindoll gives us these questions, and I've used them in accountability groups and prayer partnerships. Number 1, have you been with a woman this week in such a way that was inappropriate or could have been looked to others as you were using poor judgment? Number 2, have you been completely above reproach in all of your financial dealings this week? Number 3, have you exposed yourself to any explicit material this week? Number 4, have you spent time daily in prayer and in scriptures this week? Number 5, have you fulfilled the mandate of God's call and direction in your life this week? Number 6, have you taken time off to be with your family this week? And number 7, have you just lied to me in all the rest of these questions? Great questions. I can make them available if you're in an accountability relationship. Feel the danger. Leave the area. Experience God's pleasure and establish protections. Do you want to win over sin in your life and experience the abundant life? Survive your spiritual battle in this world. More than survive. Be more than an overcomer. We want to survive. Thrive. We need to agree to flee sin and temptation. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this practical advice that you give us in living for you, living like you, and living like Joseph. Help us, Lord, to realize and discover that sin is actually destructive and hurtful in our lives, not just pleasurable and attractive. Help us to see our own sin from your perspective, see how it hurts us and others and our relationship with you, that we might flee temptation and live righteous and holy lives before you. I pray that you would make us strong by your Holy Spirit through your amazing grace every day as we face these daily challenges, that we might live in your blessing, in your favor, to receive that commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant, when we see you face to face. Give us strength this week. Fill us with your Spirit to enable us and empower us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.